Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero folks, and Mark and Jeanette Fellows from Chase Hill Farm Organic Milk and Cheeses. A variety of cheeses in front of us, and Jeanette has cut the cheese.
She's cutting it.
It's funny every time.
I know.
So I guess my first question is, if cows make the milk, what makes different cheeses cheeses? So you've got, what cheeses did you bring here?
A cloth-bound cheddar. A Tome de Normand is based on a style of a French cheese that we really liked.
Tome de Normand. I think I read that. It was Les Mis, right? It's a huge tome. 2,000 pages long.
T-O-M-M-E.
Okay, what makes the tome cheese versus the cheddar if it's milk from the same cow?
Blue. It's the same milk. Cheeses are pretty basic ingredients. Most of it is milk. And then you add some culture. So there's different cultures, a different cooking process, and a different ripening process. And that's how all these different cheeses come from the same milk.
And the cheese is the solids part of the milk. So you're concentrating the milk.
And you're adding some acidity in the cultures that give it different flavors. There's little enzymes, little bacteria that it's a chemical process, and it's also a scientific, an artistic process. For me, some of it's magic. Still.
You know the science behind it. You just know what to do to make it happen.
I do.
Wingardium Leviosa, and then all of a sudden it's cheddar.
It's like different recipes. It's amazing that it all comes from the same thing.
Let's talk a little bit about your cows. So you're not just making cheese. You have cows too. Is that true?
We do.
Yeah.
Well, those are Mark's cows.
Mark, you take care of the cows. So Jeanette, you're the cheesemaker then. And Mark, you're the cow tamer.
Exactly.
Mark is kind of the stay-at-home farmer. It's amazing we have him in the studio.
Right.
You know, cows miss him.
They stray more than Mark does.
So tell me about how you're raising the cows, Mark.
Our cows it's a French breed called a Normand. So we start there.
It's what the Tome de Normand is named after. The Tome from the Normand cows.
Got it.
Yeah. If you go to France and Normandy, they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. I like them because they're much more interesting than regular cows like Holsteins or Jerseys.
What makes them more interesting? Because they're prettier, different here.
They're more colorful. Yeah. In France, they're selected.
A lot of interesting spots and things on them, yeah?
They're selected for grazing, cheese production, and beef. It's a dual purpose breed. You know, their milk is excellent for making cheese, and then when they're culled, you know, they're really much more beefy than a Holstein or a Jersey.
And what are you feeding these cows?
Our system is based on grass. For 7 or 8 months of the year, that's all they get to eat is just grass that they graze.
And grass that's underfoot?
Yes, on our farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the winter months when it's frozen and snow covered, and then in the winter they just get the hay that we've made in the summer.
So what's the issue about cows eating corn?
Well, cows are ruminants. They evolved to eat roughage, not grain. When you feed cows grain, they're not as healthy and their products aren't as healthy for you.
And you at Chase Hill Farm, which is in Warwick, were one of the first organic dairy farms in the state of Massachusetts. But eating the grass versus eating the hay has an effect on the cheese that you were talking a little bit about earlier. So the Normand is a little more pale, and the cheddar, which was when they were eating the grass, is a little more yellowy. So the grass makes cheese more yellow?
Yes, exactly. It does. Just like the beta carotene from the grass comes right through the cheese. But
it's like what happens to me when I eat beets, and then I go to the restroom. I'm like, exactly. Oh my God, I'm internally bleeding. And then I'm like, oh no, wait, it was just what I ate.
That's right. Yeah. And our ideal thing would be to just make cheese when the cows are grazing.
Right.
But we're seasonal. Yeah. We have a seasonal calving cycle, which is also more sustainable for us as
human beings.
People.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is part of our making our this business livable for it.
Now, there was a controversy about a week or so ago with new FDA regulations saying that cheeses could not be aged on wooden shelves. Now, they're saying that it's not sanitary, and this is how, since the ancient times, cheeses have been aged. Are your cheeses aged in wood, and what's your response to this new story?
My response is that the American Cheese Society is on it, and the other amazing thing about it is that the internet reached all these cheese aficionados and cheese...
Or just people who love cheese in general.
People who really like cheese. So I do use wooden boards that are actually... Sometimes I have, like, other boards underneath those to absorb some of the moisture. It's not, and I have some of these are natural rind cheeses, but some of them are wax cheeses too. Mm-hmm. So
what makes the wood good for cheese? What makes it so important to cheese making, and why there's been such a reaction?
It breathes a little bit, and it's the same thing as like if they said that there was like you couldn't use those cultures because like that's where some of the flavor and some of the magic that happens in cheese happens.
Right.
I mean, it's more traditional methods, but that's what they've done for thousands of years in Europe or other parts of the world. So
granted, they did have the Black Plague and all that, and can't connect the two, but
it's like, let's make things so safe that they don't taste good. I mean, so that's why people are fighting back, you know?
That's what's interesting. I mean, you have a blue cheese here, what is blue is mold.
The
right?
blue is mold.
Usually, when you're eating food, if it gets moldy, it's
right.
time to throw it away.
Right.
But
and
with blue
that's
cheese,
what people want that.
Moldy.
And the more, the better.
Why doesn't it make me sick?
I don't know.
It's another
it's
one
magic.
Of those magic things. Yeah.
It is. You
does
know?
It, does it ever go bad? We took blue cheese with us to the Cape, and we were camping in a yurt, which is just a whole other story. Never
yeah.
But we had these coolers, and we had this blue cheese. First of all, don't ever put blue cheese in a cooler unless you want everything to smell
everything
and taste like blue
like
cheese.
Blue cheese.
Secondly, I kept saying, it's already kind of bad.
Right.
It's the point of blue cheese. It's got mold on it. It's not going to get more bad. I don't
right.
think we need to have it in the cooler. Was a, who's right?
It still needs to be refrigerated. It gets to a point where it starts to turn brown, or you would know if you
right.
want to
eat
it.
Right, but we could toe the line a little bit.
Right.
It's blue cheese. It's already moldy.
Right.
You're kind of amazing because you guys can sell cheeseburgers where the burgers are coming from the cows.
Right.
This violates everything in kosher law, by the way.
These cows are not Jewish. I just want to
no,
double check on
so.
That. Okay.
This year at the farmer's market in Amherst, I started cooking cheeseburgers so people could try my cheese and try. And then a couple weeks ago, we added blue cheese offerings, which was super amazing.
Oh my God, Phil, you wish you weren't a vegetarian right
and
now.
And I started getting into food photography this year so I could put them on my Facebook page.
Cheese is delicious. You can get it
amazing.
At all sorts of different places around the valley. I've had it many times, and I quite like it. Jeanette and Mark Fellows from Chase Hill Farm, organic milk and cheeses in Warwick, and Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero folks, buylocalfood.org.